We now start the 13th and final chapter of Maseches Menachos. This is Perek Yud Gimel, Mishnah Aleph 13:1, and the topic of the Perek is Nedar, and when a person takes on a Nedar, a personal commitment to bring something to the Beis HaMikdash, but there's uncertainty in the nature of his Nedar. That could come one of two basic ways. Either A, he just was ambiguous in what he said, and he himself doesn't know exactly what he meant, or it could be that he knew exactly what he meant at the time he made the Nedar, but he has since forgotten. So, now, in all these cases, these are voluntary commitments. No one's telling this person to make such a neder. But once a person makes a neder, he effectively has like a 614th commandment. Now, he has brought upon himself a Torah obligation to do whatever he said. And therefore, we need to figure out what he can do or must do in order to fulfill that obligation. Now, the basic gist is going to be, if, of all these Mishnayos, loosely speaking, is if he made a neder which was ambiguous, he said something but it wasn't clear exactly what he meant, and he himself, at the time he said it, he didn't formulate exactly what he meant. So then the requirement will be that he has to do something which A, fits into the words he said, because neder always requires a formal verbal commitment, hare alai something, I commit to doing something. And second of all, it has to be that not just that it fits into the words he said, but also that it's plausible that's what he meant. Just plausible. So in other words, he would say, yeah, okay, I could have meant that. I didn't mean anything specific, but I could have meant that. So that's what he'll have to do. And the minimum that meets those requirements, that it fits the words he said, and that he says, yeah, that's plausible, I could have meant that, which almost are two sides of the same coin, those two conditions, in fact. So then that's his obligation. If he made a specific commitment, he had something specific in mind, but we no longer, he doesn't remember what his commitment was. So now essentially the gist will be he'll have to bring as much as is required to be 100% confident that he now has lived up to his obligation. Okay, and no more than that. But that's of course variable and based on his personal psychology, what he says is possible, what he might have meant and what he might have thought at the time. Okay, so the first case of the Mishnah is Hare Alai Isaron. A person commits to bringing a isaron of flour. So that means like he says, I commit to bring a gallon of flour. Now the recipe, as you know, for a mincha is one isaron. So therefore, says the Mishnah, Yavi Echad, he'll bring one isaron of flour in the context of one mincha and he'll fulfill his obligation because what else could he have meant? If he says isaronim, I commit to bringing like, let's call in English, like gallons of flour. Okay, now, when he says gallons in English, isronim in Hebrew, like gallons could be two or three or a million. But since he didn't have any specific in mind, he says, I'm bringing gallons of flour, isronim of flour to the base mikdash, as a mincha. Well, says the Mishnah, yavi shnayim, he can bring two, because you recall that we said previously that the number of isronim that go into mincha is always like a whole number, okay? So one or two or three. And since gallons is plural, it's run number plural, so it can't be one, but two is plausible and two may be what he meant. And he says, yeah, when I did not mean two, so therefore fine, let him bring two and he fulfills his obligation. If he says, peirashti, ve'eni yodea ma peirashti, he says, when I said I'm bringing gallons of flour, a surnim, so I had a specific amount in mind. I just don't remember what that number was. So then, yavi shishim isaron. He has to bring 60 isaron. You'll recall from earlier on, the largest previous perek, that the largest mincha possible is a mincha that is comprised of 60 isaronim of flour. That's the biggest. So we'll assume that we don't know what he meant, but he didn't mean more than that, and therefore he'll bring 60. Now the truth is, since his commitment here has got through with the volume of flour, he actually could do it in one of two ways. Okay, he could either bring 60 separate menachos of one each, or it could bring one big mincha of 60. Okay, that might need to be qualified a little bit in the next Mishnah, but the point is just understand that his commitment is about not 60 menachos, but rather 60, you know, isaronim of flour up to, and therefore you can bring him either 60 separate menachos or one big mincha of 60. If he says, hare alai mincha, but he doesn't, so he says it now again, he says, I commit to bring a mincha. So good, the standard mincha is, yes, it's one isaron. We're not talking about volume now, we're talking now about not quantity but quality. There are five separate voluntary menachos that can be brought, right? There's a total of five. You have the mincha soles, which is plain flour. You also have the two that are, you know, done the griddle, the machvas and marcheshes, and the two that are baked in the oven, the chalos and the rakikin. So there are five possibilities. And here he said, I'm bringing a mincha, but he didn't say which type. So then, yavi ezu sheyirtze, he can bring any of the five types. Remember, the ingredients are basically all the same. It's isra and a flour, typically with the lugum oil and the frankincense on top. So he brings any one of the five he could, because any one of those five will commit, fulfill what he says. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, yavi minchas hasolis. He says he specifically must bring the unbaked, like raw flour mincha, because shehi miyuchedes shebemenachos, because that one stands alone as sort of the unique of the menachos. Meaning, what that means is that when the pasuk talks about the word mincha without describing what kind of mincha, it doesn't say minchas, you know, marcheshes machva, it doesn't fill in the blank with some kind of shem levi, some sort of descriptor. It just simply calls it a mincha. So then that can only apply specifically to the minchas solus. Because the pasuk says, this is the perek base, Mishnah Aleph, in Vayikra, v'nefesh ki sakriv korban mincha l'Hashem, when a person brings a mincha, solus yeh korbano, says the pasuk, his offering will be of solus, of plain flour. So you see that the solus flour can be referred to as simply mincha. So therefore, if he says, I'm bringing a mincha, says Rabbi Yehuda, it must be specific. Well, you assume what he must meant is like what the pasuk uses the term to mean, and therefore he brings just a plain mincha solus. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, it's like Tanakama. So if he says, I'm bringing a mincha, he can bring whatever of the five types of voluntary menachos he so chooses.